this shortcast, Mel McSweeney and Dr. Mildred Yeo described their clinical experience with glycerol phenylbutyrate in 20 patients with urea cycle disorders at a UK paediatric centre, published in July 2023.
The urea cycle was really first described in around about 1932, and then in 1962, the first description of OTC was reported. But it wasn't until 1980 when Professor Saul Brusselow from Johns Hopkins University found a treatment for urea cycle disorders. Ammonia scavenger drugs are the mainstay of treatment, and we know that it is done by the conjugation of benzoate with glycine to generate hippurate and phenylbutyrate with glutamine to generate phenylacetylglutamine. And these conjugates are then excreted in the urine. The preparations across the world may be slightly different. So in the UK, we use sodium phenylbutyrate and sodium benzoate as IV preparations, and in other countries, they might use sodium phenylacetate. But both of these drugs are available as intravenous and oral preparations. When we think about oral medications, liquid preparations are often what we use in children, but we know that these can end up with very high volumes, particularly for young children to be able to take. It's very difficult, particularly some of the urea cycle disorders where they might have a gastrostomy tube, and certainly tablets would be not possible to use. We also need to think about the other aspects of the medications. Are they licensed versus unlicensed? And then we need to think about the taste. For many years, we've been looking after these children and we've been giving them these medications, but we know actually the taste is quite unpleasant. It's quite bitter. And parents often have difficulties in trying to get their children to take some of the volume. So when we really have to sort of have some thought about what is available out there and what would suit the children best. And then something that came to our attention in 2020 when looking at sodium benzoate as a product, it was deemed by the medicines information that it wasn't really suitable for children under the age of 5 years. This was because it contained quite a high amount of propylene glycol, 18 milligrams per mil, and this could potentially cause hyperosmolality, metabolic acidosis, renal impairment, or CNS depression, especially in neonates and young children. When we think about volume comparison, we know depending on the dosage that the volumes are quite high, and you know it's difficult to get them in. So just to give you some examples, we have a 12 kilogram child who was on a monotherapy of sodium benzoate of 350 milligrams per kilogram per day, which equated to 10 mils four times a day. On switching from sodium benzoate to glycerol phenylbutyrate, we managed to get an 80% reduction in volume and bring that down to 1.2 mils four times a day, which is much easier for families to cope with children who can be quite aversive to eating, never mind taking medications. When we were looking at switching our patients, we started off switching our patients who were just on monotherapy of sodium benzoate. And then by January 2019, we'd had our first patient fully transitioned onto the product. We then began the switch over of those that were on dual therapy. And then in December 2020, we had a new neonate who was newly diagnosed and so was in intensive care to begin with on intravenous scavengers. And when we brought him back to the ward, we switched him straight on to glycerol phenylbutyrate rather than starting, as we had done previously, on sodium benzoate and sodium phenylbutyrate. So that was quite a successful switch. So that's kind of where this started. I'm now going to hand over to Mildred, who will talk about our specific experience with those patients and what we found.
Thanks, Mel. So this is a retrospective study. It was observational. All urea cycle defect patients who were receiving treatment with glycerol phenylbutyrate were included. We collected data where available for a period of up to 3 years before a patient started glycerol phenylbutyrate and for the duration of treatment thereafter until July 2022. And in terms of urea cycle disorders, the most common one was arginine succinate synthetase deficiency, followed by arginine succinate lyase deficiency. And then we also had OTC and CPS1. The mean age at initiation was 5 years, but the age group where we had the most patients was between 4 months to 5 years and 6 to 11 years. So we had 6 patients in those two groups, respectively. We also looked at the treatment change. So the biggest group that we had was of patients moving from sodium benzoate to glycerol phenylbutyrate. And then we also had patients who were just switching from sodium phenylbutyrate to glycerol phenylbutyrate. We had patients who went from dual therapies just to glucosylphosphate butyrate, and we also had patients who were on dual therapy who swapped the sodium phenylbutyrate for glucosylphosphate butyrate. In one of our patients who was on carglumic acid, glucosylphosphate butyrate was used as an add-on therapy. We also looked at sodium and propylene glycol exposure. So before we started anyone on glucosylphosphate butyrate, we had 9 patients who were exceeding the recommended daily dose of sodium exposure. And after starting a glucosylphosphate butyrate, this number was reduced to 2, a reduction of about 78%. And then looking at propylene glycol, we had 6 patients who were exceeding the recommended limit. And after starting glucosylphosphate butyrate, we only had 1 patient. We did 2 subgroup analyses. First was for patients with at least 12 months of data each side of starting glucosylphosphate butyrate. And then subgroup 2, we focused mainly on infants and neonates, so those who were less than 3 months old. We also looked at annual rates of hyperammonemic episodes and hospitalizations. And this involves summing up instances in patients and dividing it by the cumulative number of treatment years. So there is evidence from existing literature suggesting that glucosylphosphate butyrate is achieving better clinical outcomes than earlier generation sodium-based scavengers. And this is something that we've seen in our own cohort of patients as well. In the whole group analysis, you see that the mean ammonia levels decrease significantly. And even in the subgroup analysis, the annualized rates for, let's say, hyperammonemic episodes were 2.3 before, and then they dropped to 0.6. So that's a reduction of 74%. There was also a 70% reduction in hyperammonemic episodes, which resulted in admissions. And then for all hospital admissions, there was a 49% reduction as well. The mean glutamine decreased significantly in the subgroup analysis, with a decreasing trend in the whole group analysis. We didn't see any significant change in the branched chain amino acids. We had 2 patients who experienced some events which we have no clear explanation for. And one of these was an OTC patient, and glucosylphosphate butyrate in this patient was introduced at 11 years. This patient developed unexplained pancytopenia 16 months post glucosylphosphate butyrate commencement, but we didn't change the dose and the symptoms resolved spontaneously. We had another patient with CPS1 where the glucosylphosphate butyrate was introduced at age 6. This patient complained of fatigue and reduced appetite 28 months post glucosylphosphate butyrate commencement. So the dose was reduced and sodium benzoate was reintroduced. And then 10 months later, we managed to successfully wean off sodium benzoate again, and all symptoms have resolved. So the etiologies of these adverse events is not very clear. We noted that there was increased gamma GT, which was statistically significant. And our only explanation for that is it might be an age-related increase. And despite the increase, it was still within normal limits. So we didn't take too much notice of that. There was also a decreased platelets, which was statistically significant. The possible explanations we have for that, could it be age-related? But we also know that chronic elevated sodium exposure can elevate your platelets. So the fact that we managed to wean these patients off sodium-based scavengers means that they will be exposed to less sodium. So it could explain why their platelets reduced as well, but they were still in the normal range. From a patient satisfaction point of view, informal feedback demonstrated a preference for glucosylphosphate butyrate due to the lower volume, greater palatability, and easier administration. And, you know, if our patients are taking their medication, they're more likely to have their metabolic condition under control. We also note that there are limitations to our study. So it's retrospective, it's a small cohort, it's longitudinal analysis. From a biochemical perspective, samples were collected when they come for clinic, so they were not controlled in any way. Our findings are consistent with results of other studies in the literature. And the use of glucosylphosphate butyrate has improved short-term clinical outcomes in our cohort and has the potential to confer longer-term benefits as well as improved quality of life.